Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Good morning. Today is Tuesday, January 5th, and I'm your host, Steve Brown. Our top stories today: down to Georgia, worries about inflation, and RIP Haven. Leading today's news: investors are eyeing today's Senate runoff election in Georgia, which will decide if Joe Biden has the ability to pursue his preferred economic policies at the onset of his administration. Backdrop: Democrat John Ossoff, a documentary filmmaker, and Reverend Raphael Warnock, a senior pastor at the historic black church Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, are taking on Republican incumbent Senators David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. As of now, the GOP holds a 50-48 majority in the Senate, but if Democrats win both of the runoff races, Vice President-elect Kamala Harris would be to the tie-breaking vote, giving the party control of the White House and Congress. Bigger picture: both contests are tight, and the results may not be immediately known, which could lead to a repeat of the chaotic vote recounts following the U.S. presidential election in November. More drama will ensue on Wednesday, as the House and Senate formalize Biden's Electoral College win. A group of at least 12 Republican senators are objecting to the certification. What it means for the market: uncertainty about the Georgia runoffs already sent Wall Street sharply lower on Monday, and volatility could return. Democrats taking the Senate would mean an ever greater convergence of loose fiscal and monetary policy, which would have negative implications for U.S. Treasuries and the dollar, according to Chris Woods at Jefferies. Nonetheless, it could be the excuse for a near-term consolidation in risk markets after a strong post-election rally, added James Knightley, chief international economist at ING. Still, a blue wave would only give the party a slim Senate margin, meaning Democratic proposals, from rewriting the tax code to increase regulatory risks for big tech, banks, and the energy sector, could be watered down. In other news, President-elect Joe Biden has also referred to the latest coronavirus aid package as a down payment for dealing with the pandemic, and today's runoff election in Georgia could make that a reality. Another stimulus bill providing cash for testing and vaccinations, aid to cities and states, and a third round of direct payments could be valued in the trillions of dollars, and that is prompting worries about inflation and the massive federal deficit. Backdrop: the U.S. hasn't seen significant inflation in almost 40 years, and since the 2008 financial crisis, the economy has experienced very low inflation and even deflation. A moderate level of inflation occurs naturally in a growing economy, yielding higher prices that encourages businesses to invest, interest rates to go up, and higher wages. Bigger picture: central bank officials have said they will tolerate inflation levels higher than 2% to juice the economy and get back to full employment. But if the number rises at a faster rate, it could be harmful for investors and force the Fed to tighten policy sooner than expected. Outlook: the bottom line is that it will take a long time for average inflation to reach 2%, Chicago Fed President Charles Evans said on Monday. To meet our objectives and manage risks, the Fed's policy stance will have to be accommodative for quite a while. Others, like Bill Dudley, the former president of the New York Fed, made waves last month by suggesting inflation might come back much more quickly than the consensus suggests, due to pricing differentials and the lingering effects of the pandemic. It's not easy disrupting the U.S. healthcare sector, and J.P. Morgan, Amazon, and Berkshire Hathaway are learning that the hard way. Haven, the joint venture launched by the three companies back in 2018, will get disbanded at the end of January, with little to show for its 3 years of effort. Mission: having aimed to combat the high and rising costs for employee healthcare by combining the might of leaders in technology and finance, it would radically improve the American healthcare system, which features a complicated configuration of doctors, insurers, drug makers, and middlemen that costs the country $3.5 trillion each year. What happened? Each of the three founding companies executed their own projects separately with their own employees, obviating the need for the joint venture to begin with, CNBC reports. Haven also faced several high-profile departures, such as CEO Atul Gawande in May 2020. Outlook? The three companies are still expected to collaborate informally on healthcare projects. While the venture has achieved no deductible plans with wellness incentives for employees of Amazon, JP Morgan, and some Berkshire companies. In a rare Silicon Valley development, a few hundred employees have formed a union at Google, making the latest new peak in what has been swelling worker activism at the tech giant. Backdrop: the Alphabet Workers Union formed mostly in secret over the past year, the New York Times notes, and elected leadership last month. It's affiliated with the Communications Workers of America, a union that represents workers in telecommunications and media in the U.S. and Canada. Bigger picture: as a minority union, it's not really in a position to negotiate over wages and work contracts, but it does add some staying power to what has been growing unrest among workers over issues tied to pay policies, harassment, and company ethics. Response from Google: we've always worked hard to create a supportive and rewarding workplace for our workforce. Of course, our employers have practiced labor rights that we support, but as we've always done, we'll continue engaging directly with all of our employees. Moscow and Riyadh are again at odds over how much extra oil the market can tolerate as the escalating COVID-19 pandemic threatens a wave of tighter lockdowns. What happened? At a meeting on Monday, Saudi Energy Minister Prince Abdulaziz bin Salman proposed rolling back the 500,000-barrel-a-day production increase the group made this month, while his Russian counterpart, Deputy Prime Minister Alexander Novak, wanted to maintain that supply hike and add the same amount for February. OPEC Plus talks were unexpectedly suspended as a result, but will resume today. Note: while failure to reach a compromise is rare, it can have damaging consequences, like the month-long price war seen in 2020. Outlook: the extension of talks also casts doubt on the production increase of 500,000 barrels a day traders had penciled in for March and April. OPEC Plus producers are currently idling 7.2 million barrels a day, or about 7% of world supplies, and had planned to return to a further 1.5 million barrels a day in installments over the coming months. As of 6:20 a.m. today, U.S. futures, gold, Bitcoin, and crude oil are all set to open in the green. On today's economic calendar, Redbook chain store sales are out at 8:55 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to rate and review it below. Your feedback is deeply appreciated.
That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to SeekingAlpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.